Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show. Thank you for listening to AFR. All right, my studio panel includes Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
We're in Tupelo, MS, and in KCKC is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Nice weather.
Sunny. Sunny going up into about 68, maybe 70.
I think I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Glad not to be in northern Michigan today.
Why is that?
They're expecting up to 14 inches of snow
in May,
northern Michigan.
You know what?
You mean like the UP?
Yeah.
I got three words for that. That's just wrong.
It's extremely wrong. Tim, we're against that. We are against that.
Our poor friends in Michigan. Man alive.
I guess if you like winter and cross-country skiing, you might be happy.
Yeah, I don't know.
May. Man, 14 inches. It'd be one thing if they were going to get a dusting.
Yeah.
Just to remind them that, you know, winter will be back before you know it. 14 inches.
Yeah. From whence I come, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Snow as late as early June.
Oh,
wow. Up in the highlands of Cape Breton.
Oh, the highlands. The highlands are Scottish, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I can go from Irish to Scottish.
And leprechauns don't live there.
Sure, be gone. No leprechauns.
I think the leprechaun community, I think they moved to Florida. They got tired of the cold, too. Yeah. It was making them even shorter.
Sure, be gone. Oh, me lucky charms.
Magically delicious. Yes. All right, so Jenna Ellis will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio. And then Michelle Bachmann, the former congresswoman from Minnesota, will be with us. She's now dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. What's her topic today,
Her topic today is what she's been talking with Jan Markell on our program Understanding the Times, heard on the weekend here, AFR. She's been talking a lot about two things, and that is a real threat, she believes, that the Biden administration may turn over our health care regulations if there's another pandemic to the World Health Organization. And then also she connects that to a real movement in our country, in the Biden administration, to globalism. In other words, a belief out there amongst those on the left that every country would be better off if we just had a central world government.
And let me explain for just a second why those on the left in the quote-unquote progressive movement love this direction, okay? Because they hate voters.
Mm.
They don't want individuals deciding what to do with their own lives. Maybe hate's a strong word. They disrespect the voters because they believe experts should be running the country. And the further away from the voter you can move the decision-making, and for us, that would be Europe in the minds of the progressives, the better.
Yeah.
So you want to complain about what's happening in this country and you got to call Brussels or call some bureaucrat in Paris or wherever the decision's being made, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So that's the progressive movement. It is no longer the classical liberal position on the left that has taken over. It's the progressive movement. And you're a bunch of idiots to them. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
They believe you do not have the smarts to run your life. You'll own nothing and be happy.
It's being talked about a lot. Dr. David Jeremiah on his Turning Point program this week. It's heard at 5:30 in the morning Central Time. He is, in the last couple of mornings, he's been dealing with Marxism. And for the rest of the week, he's going to be talking about the push towards global government.
Yeah.
Very timely.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Ray, where are you in your Bible reading?
Today, 1 Samuel 28 and 29. And 1 Samuel, Tim, 28, that's Saul and the Witch of Endor, one of the most remarkable stories in all the Old Testament. So we're just sailing through the last few chapters of 1 Samuel, and we're hearing from people everywhere, including, I want to say, a whole lot of our AFR listeners have tuned in to Let's Read the Bible. And I know it because when they make comments, they say, I heard you and Ed or you and Tim were talking about this on AFR. We've got huge listenership out there, and a lot of them are...
All right, tell folks who haven't heard, what are you doing and how can they participate?
Well, God laid it on my heart, Tim, to read through the Bible out loud and online, go through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, starting in January, and God willing, we're going to end up at the end of Revelation on December the 31st. And today, we are in these closing chapters of 1 Samuel. It's easy to find us. Just go to keepbelieving.com, keepbelieving.com. All the previous videos are up there, and we post a new one every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time. So invite our AFA family to join us as we read through the Bible together. That's at keepbelieving.com.
Saul and the Witch of Endor. It sounds like the next Star Wars movie.
It does. That's right. It sounds like it should.
Well, there was a planet it Endor qualified. In Return of the Jedi.
That's a very controversial passage because right. Saul goes to this medium and Samuel is dead at this point.
That's yes. right. He's extremely dead.
And I'd call her the witch. Right. Saul says, call up Samuel, and Samuel comes and speaks.
Right.
And I'm sure that's where the whole sermon in itself,
yeah,
about a medium.
And he is not happy about being bothered.
It's a very interesting passage.
It is very, and it is controversial. And but I love 1 and 2 Samuel. That's just, you know, the life of David. I mean, it's just tremendous. So good on you.
So you like that better than Numbers?
Listen, it's all God's word. It's all profitable for correction, reproof, instruction, training, and righteousness.
But
some
of those names that they're a real killer.
Oh yeah,
you have
you're right.
You know, 10 of them in a row. At 1 Samuel, the stories are amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We know the Bible's the Word of God anyway, but one reason we know it is because it tells the truth. It tells the truth about who God is, and it tells the truth about who we are. And if you want to see how messed up we can get, you got to read 1 Samuel 28 will tell you how messed up we can get.
Well, the website for Ray's reading through the Bible is keepbelieving.com, right?
That's it.
keepbelieving.com. All right, Fred, first story, what is it?
You know, on this program, we have mentioned from time to time the statements made under oath by our Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who claims that our southern border is secure. So we've dealt with that story. Well, our good friend, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, may have outdone Mayorkas on, I'm going to be kind, stretching the truth.
Yeah.
All right? She was talking yesterday about the efforts by the Biden administration to get ready for the expiration of Title 42 on our border. Now, 42 was put in place when the pandemic was on to keep people claiming asylum on the Mexican side of the border until their hearing could be heard. The border officials are now expecting, once that is removed in the next few weeks, there could be as many 13,000 people a day approaching our southern border. Anyway, Karine Jean-Pierre talking about this yesterday, and then she laid a big one out there that people are just shaking their head. Just have a listen to it. It is cut number 6.
He has tools that he's used to make sure that we do this. We actually deal with the immigration system in a humane way, and in a way that is that actually deals with what we're seeing at the border. And that's why you've seen the parolee program be so successful. When it comes to illegal migration, you've seen it come down by more than 90%, and that's because of the actions that this president has taken.
Down by more than 90%. The Border Patrol says what they call the gotaways, just the gotaways, now number over 1 million since Joe Biden became president.
She's just a paid liar is all she is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hate to say that like that, but demonstrably untrue, and everybody knows it. And yep. She gets up there and says something like Biden has reduced illegal immigration. Is that what she said?
Yes.
By 90%?
Mm-hmm.
If I were assigned to that job of going to her press conferences, I would go to my boss and say, listen, there's no point in us going to this anymore, really, and giving her any coverage, because she tells whoppers every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can prove aren't true. So she, instead of dealing with issues forthrightly and saying, yeah, we got a problem, we're doing this, you know, spin it the best way you can for your boss, the president, in this case, Biden. But don't just get up there and do Pinocchio impersonations, okay? don't do that because you're insulting the intelligence of everybody with her just lies. So I did see this on Fox News website just a moment ago, and this is their headlines. I don't know if it's breaking news. Sources tell Fox News Biden considering troop deployments to border as Title 42 is set to expire.
Yeah.
Now, we know there is a policy, which Ed can name it. What's it called, Ed, where you can't use armed forces inside the United States?
Comstock?
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about you can deploy the National Guard.
For policing.
Huh?
Except under emergencies.
Oh, you can under emergencies?
Well, the National Guard, you can.
Okay. Oh, that's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming, Ray, here that President Biden, should he do this, would call out the National Guard. But wouldn't that highlight the failure of his administration on the immigration issue?
Well, it would move it to issue number one as we're heading into the 2024 election season. So, on the one hand, look, if really it was down 90%, like what's her name said, right? If it really was down 90%, why are you sending in the troops? Why are you even thinking about sending in the troops? Isn't that, if he sends in the troops, National Guard or whatever, isn't that an admission of the total catastrophic failure of the Biden non-existent border policy?
It's posse comitatus, yes. Act. I got that mixed up with Comstock has to do with pornography and immorality. I looked it up.
Apologies. So what is it called again?
It's called the Posse Comitatus
Act. What does that mean?
It is a federal law. It was signed into law after 13, 14 years after the conclusion of the Civil War. It limits the power of the federal government in the use of federal military personnel to enforce domestic policies within the United States.
It's a good
States.
Policy.
It is, because you don't want the country to become a militarized dictatorship. And you run the risk if you've got troops, because troops are not – the military's trained to kill people and break things. That's kind of the old expression. You don't want to put them into a situation where they're having to enforce laws. They're not trained to do that.
Against their own people.
And against their own.
So to speak, their families and people.
Right.
But in this case with the National Guard can be called up by governors, and it can be called up by the president to tackle specific issues. A lot of times the National Guard is called in for natural disasters.
Right.
To maintain law and order, for example. This story says that Biden is considering sending 1,500 active duty U.S. troops to the southern border in the coming days amid concerns that the tens of thousands of migrants will surge into the country all at once. I noticed yesterday El Paso is again saying they're under an emergency because the Democrat mayor there is saying we're just completely overwhelmed.
Well, to Fred's point, if the estimates, the projections are correct, that 13,000 people a day might be coming into this country illegally. I did a quick little formula on my calculator on my phone. 13,000 a day means 1 million coming into this country every 2.5 months. Every 2.5 months. That's a lot of people to absorb. Not that they should be having to absorb that many people who are coming in illegally, but they got to go somewhere.
Well, if Biden, you know, if he calls, if he sends troops down there, National Guard troops down there to help along the border, 1,500, I think, is measly to me. And if you're talking about tens of thousands coming over a day, and this is in addition to what's already happened since Biden became the president when he said he welcomed everybody from around the world to flood our border. Remember that?
Promised a surge.
Yeah, and promised we'd pay for all their health care and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, there's been estimates of 4 to 5 million or more that have already come into our country. And we know they've been dispersed on planes and sent to buses. And anyway, it's a complete and utter disaster. We don't have a border anymore because Biden didn't want one. And again, I'll say this, repeat myself, but I think it's going to have to be from within the Democratic Party. They're going to have to stand. Now, you're already seeing the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of New York complaining about their being overwhelmed in their cities. And they're blaming the Texas governor for being a racist.
Yeah. Mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, actually said that Abbott is racist because he's only sending these flooded people coming into Texas, he's only sending them to black-run cities.
That's ridiculous.
And it's not,
he's sending them to sanctuary cities.
Yes.
These are cities that have said, we welcome everybody to come here. It doesn't matter whether you're legal or illegal. That's the purpose of having a sanctuary pronouncement. And now the governor of Texas is saying, if you want to go to Chicago, if you want to go to New York, we're providing buses.
Right. So we'll get you there. You cross the border illegally, and if you'd like to go to Chicago, we will make sure you get there. Big surprise, the mayor of Chicago doesn't really want these people to come to his city.
It's easy to be a sanctuary city when you're thousands of miles away, and you just say to Texas and Arizona, for example, y'all deal with these millions of people. Don't send them up here to be a hindrance to us, to bother us.
Yeah. And Abbott's response should be, a Democrat president, you Democrat mayor, created this mess.
Right.
You got a problem?
Right.
You go talk to President Joe Biden.
Besides, Illinois isn't that far away from Texas.
No.
All right. So there, you could make an argument that what Governor Abbott is doing is just simply sending these legal immigrants to the sanctuary city nearest your location.
Well, and they're getting on the buses voluntarily.
Right.
Yes.
They're not being forced to go to New York or to Chicago or anywhere else. It's an utter disaster, but as I say, you have a major party, political party in our country who doesn't believe in borders. And I don't know what you do about that. Exactly, except that a problem which is about to happen, which is a tidal wave, could make the issue unavoidable for Biden and some of the Democrats there. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Well, let's follow up on a story we talked about yesterday. Yesterday, Hunter Biden, son of President Joe Biden, was in a courtroom in Arkansas. This has to deal with a case of Hunter Biden. It has been proven is the father of a little girl that he had with a woman who is described as a former stripper. We understand from the court hearing yesterday that Hunter Biden, up to this point, has been paying $20,000 a month in child support. The reason there was a court hearing yesterday is that Hunter Biden is now saying, I don't have the financial resources to keep paying $20,000 a month. In fact, there was just a quote, apparently, from the court hearing yesterday where Hunter Biden said during that recent trip to Ireland that the president made, Hunter Biden claims he slept on a cot in the president's hotel room during that visit to Ireland. He just can't afford things. All right, so that is that story. The behind the story that's getting a lot of national attention, because there's now a court case, the lawyers for this woman are going to get a demand to see Hunter Biden's financial records. And what does that mean? Well, people like James Comer, who is the chairman of the Oversight Committee for the Republicans in the House, they believe part of the evidence will come out from Hunter Biden's laptop as to his financial state. And so they're very interested in this court case in Arkansas because it may give them the more proof, I'll put it this way, that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, as some people are calling the Biden crime family, has been up to no good for many years. Here's James Comer. He is a Republican for Kentucky, but he's also the chairman of the Oversight Committee, talking about this, cut number two.
Well, this has the potential to be very helpful. There are two things in particular I'm interested in determining from this court case. First of all, what, in fact, is his income from his artwork? Remember, he became an artist after his father became president. That was after the gig was up on all the influence peddling and the LLCs had been determined when we began our investigation. Secondly, we want to know if Hunter Biden has any offshore accounts, because we're learning more every day about the complex scheme that the Biden family had to try to disguise the source of their revenue and to try to distract from the IRS the tax liability on their influence peddling scheme. So I think this court case has a lot of potential to help assist us in our investigation.
Yeah, there's been investigations going on against Hunter Biden now for several years. There's a prosecutor in Delaware.
Right.
It's been looking into this. I think the Republicans are getting frustrated saying, we know there's a lot of evidence out there. How come charges aren't being? And the obvious answer is maybe there's the IRS is slow to do anything. So now what Comer's saying, because of this paternity case in Arkansas, perhaps we're going to get the evidence that the IRS and others cannot ignore.
Well, first, I'd like to say to Hunter Biden, when you're famous or you have a family member who's famous, in his case, Hunter Biden was quote unquote famous because he was the son of a U.S. senator and then a vice president, now the president. You do get opportunities to go to parties and find young ladies who love celebrities. Okay, I'm just going to put it like that. Right, everyone knows what I'm talking about. And those same ladies, if you do what apparently Hunter Biden has done and create a situation where that young lady is with child, you are going to be on the hook, unlike normal fathers. But you're going to be on the hook for big money. So you want to go to the playground of the rich and famous. When you mess up, you got to pay like the rich and famous. And that's what's happening to him. So I don't know what kind of sympathy he's going to get from a judge because he was at that quote unquote playground.
Hey, he was paying these $20,000 a month, he says.
Initially, yes.
And they said, yeah. I don't have any more money. That's what the whole thing is about, right?
Yes.
And so the judge is potentially going to say, oh, yeah, well, let me see your financial records.
And what was submitted was heavily redacted.
Yes.
In court.
Well, he must have blown a lot of money because he made millions and millions while his dad was VP.
Yep.
Yeah. He needs to go talk to the big guy.
The big guy.
Oh, right. Bada boom. We'll be back momentarily. Jenna Ellis will be with us in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Arc. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Arc Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Arc.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starn. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. An illegal alien is wanted for killing five people in cold blood in Texas. Among the dead, an 8-year-old boy. Governor Greg Abbott, though, is drawing fire from the media because he pointed out most of the victims are also in the country illegally. Governor Abbott, though, is correct. It's a tragedy, one that could have been avoided, even prevented, had President Biden simply secured our border. The suspect, identified as Francisco Oropesa, Fox News has learned he'd already been deported multiple times, and yet somehow he was able to get back in the country. Our borders remain open, and the Democrats are allowing very evil people to wage war on American soil. How many more 8-year-old children must die before the Biden administration gets serious about stopping the invasion of America? Be sure to read my book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. It's available at toddstearns.com.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Nahum 1, verse 7.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for being with us. If you want to join us on the internet, go to Facebook. Just type in today's issues. And we do live video stream the show there. And we also post the stories that we talk about so you can have access to the information that we use to base our comments on. That's Facebook Live, Today's Issues, or go to our streaming service, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and check that out. Take you a minute or two to register, and then you'll have access to a lot of our shows that we live video stream, and a lot of other good information. I'm Tim with Ed, Fred, and Ray, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Joining us now is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is host of the program Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio and has been the host since the 1st of January. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. It's great to be with you, and it has been a great few months since January. I've loved it.
Well, the show's taken off, and I know our listeners love it, and we encourage them to tune in to Jenna, 7:05, well, it's 7:05 Central Time each weekday morning here on AFR.
Our listeners love Jenna's program, so.
Yes. That's what I just said.
Well, I love our listeners, too.
Confirming what I have
You're
heard.
Reiterating.
Yeah. Yes.
Reiterating.
It's not fake news.
It's not.
I'm glad to hear that.
All right. So, Jenna, this morning you covered a topic on animals and mRNA vaccines, right?
Yes. So this was a piece in the National Pulse by a friend of mine who goes by Raw Egg Nationalist. And so he's one of those anonymous that just goes by this title because he covers a lot of very controversial topics. And I've had him on my podcast as well a number of times. And this article in particular, I thought was really serious and wanted to cover it because the title is Yes, mRNA Vaccines Are Being Used on Animals in the U.S. food supply. So already there are vaccines that are being injected into pigs. And so some pork that is already in the United States food supply that is not labeled as such is already going out into the food supply. And interestingly, Tim, there was a bill in the Missouri House. It's Bill 1169. That they basically wanted to give people informed consent. So the bill would require the labeling of any food products that would have the ability to alter your genes. I mean, if we have GMOs that still have to be labeled, the genetically modified engineering of plants, that may have harmful effects, but it's not altering our human genes. This bill is saying, well, we would need to label any of these types of food products. And apparently, according to my guest today, the Missouri House got a ton of pushback from the big food corporation lobby not wanting that type of transparency. So the obvious next question is, well, why?
Jen, it's Fred here. So who is pushing this? The producers, the pork producers pushing this?
So according to the article, it appears that that basically the U.S. food supply lobby. So I think that a lot of the farmers are against this, but because they're obviously seeing that this would have a lot of controversy. But more of the big food lobby. And I don't know exactly, you know, which specific companies that would contain under that umbrella. But obviously, I don't trust the FDA. And the FDA is saying that they have what's called, let me scroll down here. It's called the GRAS system, G-R-A-S, which is generally recognized as safe system under the FDA. And so they're basically saying, well, our oversight is fine. We don't need to label these products. And so obviously, it's like big pharma, big food is now saying we don't need to have any type of transparency in this, which I think is very dangerous and could be potentially harmful to humans.
So generally recognized as safe. So what could go wrong here? All right.
Right.
Here's part of the problem. I have a lot of problems with this, obviously. I have this problem, and then I have a question for you, Jenna. But part of the problem I have is when this kind of thing goes on, generally recognized as safe, there's nobody you can sue. All right. If something goes wrong and a lot of people get sick or die, you go, well, who do we sue for this? Okay, and so they diffuse the responsibility for the actions so that nobody in particular can be held accountable. I have a huge problem with that. So here's my question, though, Jenna. This is mRNA. This is COVID related, right?
mRNA is the same technology that was used in the COVID-19 so-called vaccine. I don't even think it.
Okay,
really
so
called a vaccine.
But what is it that is being added to the foods? Is it directed towards preventing COVID? And then I have a follow-up. Is that what this is?
Well, so according to my guest today, what they're trying to do is basically make an edible vaccine. And so what they would be doing would be injecting this into, for example, pork that's already happening so that it's consumable. And then the byproduct is that the human who is consuming the food would receive the vaccine basically through that edible. And my question to my guests this morning was, well, how do you then regulate how much of the vaccine you consume? Because if I'm going and getting, for example, edible vitamins, I don't just eat the entire jar once a day.
Unless they're gummies. Okay, well, then you can do it.
That if they're the Flintstones one,
yes.
You know, I remember those as a kid. But you know, how do we then regulate what amount we're in taking. But that's really what he's suggesting is the broader goal of government is not only so that this is edible and it's almost just a passive intake, but then you don't have as many people objecting to an injection and you have to not going to a doctor's office. You're just taking it passively through consumable food products.
Jenna, this seems extraordinarily reckless, dangerous. In fact, it almost sounds like something out of a science fiction novel. So in a way, to look down the road, in the hands of evil people, this is a way you could quote, vaccinate an entire population, I suppose, and they would never know it because all they did was go out to fast food, eat hamburgers, eat a steak or something, and you could passively vaccinate a whole population this way. Is that where the real danger lies here?
Absolutely. And this is where we can see already the potential for harm and why the legislative solutions like what Missouri is doing and hopefully more and more states will pass these types of bills to have products that are labeled just like, you know, now even you have to label something as having, you know, a peanut warning or a gluten-free allergy or, you know, things like that that are can be harmful to some with allergens. To have this type of passive edible vaccine that isn't labeled so that people don't have the option. I mean, I didn't even know until I read this article that it's already being used in some pork products in our food supply. So you could also imagine, too, if the mRNA technology was being used to create this type of edible vaccine, would there be more risk of even greater harm down the road? Like, for example, a country like China that wants to sterilize a population, you know, and they want to have birth control that is widely disseminated to their population. I mean, these are the types of really bad human ethics situations that we're now getting into. It does sound like sci-fi.
Telling you, you start messing with my bacon, I'm coming for you.
Well, you might not even know.
Oh, I'm laying down the gauntlet, but if I find out, you know what I'm saying?
My point earlier, who would you go after?
Yeah.
Because everyone's responsible, nobody's responsible.
If you want to read the article that our discussion is based on, which Jenna cited, we have posted it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Brent Acrely, our producer, put it up there. It's called "Yes, mRNA Vaccines Are Being Used on Animals in the U.S. Food Supply." So you trust this source, obviously, Jenna, right?
I do, and I think you know he's had some really good content, and his main focus is on the food supply and a lot of these things. And obviously, you know, this is something that we need to continue as Christians and as conservatives to look into. And the fact to me that Missouri is already highlighting this and is wanting a legislative solution to say, hey, we need to be able to label food products, and they're getting such a backlash from lobbyists, tells me that there's more questions we need to be asking, and there should be more questions that state legislatures around the country need to be asking.
Well, for our listeners, Jenna's source here, Raw Egg Nationalist. Now, Jenna's in the know. I'm not. This is apparently a person who's pretty well known. He was well known by Tucker Carlson and was the star of a recent Tucker Carlson documentary, The End of Men. So Raw Egg Nationalist is obviously pretty well known for at least a pretty good sized segment of the of the population. Hey,
yeah, and Tucker is actually how I found Raw Egg Nationalist, so which is great. And I've given Tucker some of my guests too. So we've had a few on my show that Tucker has seen, and then you know drew into his show. So it goes both ways. But,
right. what's going to happen to Tucker next? Do you know?
I don't. I would anticipate that he will go to some kind of streaming platform that he has full editorial control and will just explode even further.
He'll
so I can't
it,
wait
yeah.
to see what he does next.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Why go to another company if he has an offer? I mean, I know the offer, if they made it, would be huge in terms of financial. But he can make as much money or more probably. I'm not saying money is his driving force in life, but I mean, it is a factor. But I'm just saying that Tucker Carlson, the name he has built for himself and his followers, he would have he could go do his own platform, and
he'll reach more people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going with we'll look at Joe Rogan. Podcasting.
Yeah,
I mean, podcasting's huge nowadays. All right, thank you, Jenna. We appreciate it very much. Take care.
Great to talk with you all. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
That's Jenna Ellis. If you want to listen to Jenna's show, it's right here on American Family Radio. We pair the big bucks. Not as much as Tucker Carlson, but enough to hire her to be on with us every morning.
Whose idea was it to hire Jenna?
Jenna, that was Walker.
Oh, I thought it was yours.
Walker and I collaborated. Yeah. We had a committee of two.
I was giving you an opportunity to take credit.
We had a search committee of two. And sometimes that's better, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Than a search committee of 12.
Yep.
And so we reached out to Jenna, and I'm not kidding when I say this. God brought it all together.
Yes.
For Jenna to come on, because Sandy Rios had been on 10 years, and people love Sandy. She did a great job. We needed somebody in that same.
Sandy wanted to move to less.
Yeah, podcasting. Yeah, she didn't want to get up at 4 a.m. every weekday anymore. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Ray, and now we have Michelle Bachman on with us. Michelle is the dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University in Virginia. She was in the United States House of Representatives for several years, representing some folks in, I don't know which district, but in Minnesota. And she's heard regularly on Jan Markell's show, Understand the Times, which we air on Saturdays and Sundays here on AFR. Good morning, Michelle. This is Tim.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
Doing well. Are you in Minnesota or Virginia today?
Today I'm in Minnesota, but I'll be on the move back, heading back that way tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it. We have graduation on Saturday, so we're excited.
So do people call you Dean Bachman?
Yes, they do.
Do they call you Dean Bachman Overdrive? I'm
Bachman
sorry.
Turner Overdrive. There you go.
That was bad.
Because we're taking care of business here.
Very good.
That was nice. Good.
Nicely very good. Done. We know you're a fan.
DCOB. All right, Michelle, you have been sounding the alarm on the World Health Organization and what the Biden administration potentially wants to do. Why don't, for those who have not heard about this, can you just give us a brief overview, and then we got some questions.
Yeah, very briefly, the World Health Organization is the healthcare arm of the United Nations, and very weirdly, last year, the Biden administration wanted to change the rules that govern the World Health Organization to give them even more power. You know, so much of what happened during the last 3 years during the pandemic was based upon really bad recommendations from the World Health Organization. So now the Biden administration wants to give them even more power. In fact, an unbelievable amount of power. So this originated with the Biden administration, and the power that you saw Dr. Fauci have and the Centers for Disease Control have, where they told us we had to mask, we had to stay locked down, kids couldn't go to school, schools had to close, people were mandated to get vaccinations. Those kinds of decisions that were just pronouncements, Congress didn't pass those laws. These were just pronouncements that were made from the Centers for Disease Control and Dr. Fauci. Those recommendations actually came from the World Health Organization. And so now the Biden administration wants to give power over healthcare decisions, American power over decision-making, to the World Health Organization. And they're trying to get all 194 nations to do the same thing, to give over their sovereign power and authority to the World Health Organization. It's really unbelievable, because it would create, for the first time in history, a platform for global governance, because that's the level of power that the World Health Organization would have. It'd be a platform to for global governance where they could make a pronouncement, and it would be no longer advisory. It would now be mandatory, and that's never happened before, and this is being initiated by the Biden administration. So it's very concerning. They're trying to change the rules at the World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland. And if all the member states agree to these changes, then it doesn't have to come back to our Congress. It's just changed. And then our decision-making flows to the World Health Organization. It's very concerning. And that's why we want to make sure that our Congress stops this. And the best way they can do that is to get the United States out of the World Health Organization completely. Just get us out of it. President Trump did that. He saw the bad decisions that were being made by the World Health Organization during the pandemic. And so he filed the paperwork to get the United States out. He wasn't returned to the White House in 2020. So the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, he put the United States back into the World Health Organization, and he started up all the funding from the U.S. to the World Health Organization. So now he's trying to double down on their power and their authority. So we would lose the power and authority over making our own healthcare decisions, and instead that power and authority would be given to the World Health Organization. It's bizarre. But that's what they're proposing.
Dean Mockman, Fred Jackson here. I'm a big fan of Jan's show, and obviously I hear when you're a guest there and you folks talk a lot about this threat that we're seeing more and more towards a global government. And, you know, it's been talked about for a long time. Books have been written warning about this from the evangelical community. But I see more and more now there's public policy that appears to be taking us in that direction.
Well, that's right. You know, the Bible talks about this in the last days, that there will be a one world government system. And anyone who talked about it maybe 30 years ago was considered to be a nut and wearing a tinfoil hat. Now today you see actual documents. You see the 304 proposed amendments to the World Health Assembly that's actually proposing that this be done, or the proposed global pandemic treaty that's also proposing creating this platform for global governance. So this is no longer us just talking about this. Now this is our government and other governments that are proposing this. And so this is becoming very close to being a reality. But again, we don't have to just slide into that system. If we let our members of Congress and our senators know that we don't want the United States to give up our sovereignty, one thing that I've been calling for is to tie raising the debt ceiling. Right now, the Republicans control the House of Representatives. And Speaker Kevin McCarthy has put forward a plan, and I've been trying to talk to different members of Congress and encourage them, tie raising the debt ceiling to getting the United States out of the World Health Organization. We don't want to be in there. And so a number of members of Congress, they have so many issues on their plate, and the media isn't covering this. You're not seeing this on a lot of social media. You're not seeing this in the mainstream media. And yet, the documents are there to show this is what the Biden administration is proposing, to hand over this level of authority to the World Health Organization. Well, that changes everything for us in the future. I mean, if we thought that it was terrible when Dr. Fauci was telling us what we have to do. And the number one question I get from people is, well, Michelle, so what if the UN tells us what to do? The United States doesn't have to do it. Well, Joe Biden is the one pushing this. So if Joe Biden wants to give away that level of authority, then the Biden administration will be enforcing what it is the World Health Organization is telling us that we have to do. This is pretty incredible language. For instance, one of the things that they want to do is have every person have their own QR code, a separate digital identification, And with that digital ID, each one of us on our phone would have a QR code. And we would then have to respond to whatever the World Health Organization says. If they say we need to be tested, we need to take a vaccine, we need to wear masks or be locked down, we would have to show that we're in compliance with that QR code, or we're not going to get on a plane, or we're not going to be able to, in some cases, buy or sell things unless our digital ID shows that we are in compliance with what the global authority is telling us we have to do. For those who read the Bible and know the Bible, we're told not everyone believes the Bible. Not everybody thinks that what the Bible says is true. For those who do, they know that this has been foretold. For those who don't, this just sounds like a bizarre system, because it is a bizarre system. But there's a convergence of events that are happening right now. And unbelievably, our United States government, together with other governments, are now proposing that we institute this kind of a system at the healthcare arm of the United Nations. And one thing that we don't want to do is go along with this kind of system, because it's all about power and control and surveilling us as citizens and tracking us and tracing us. And we do not want to give that level of control over to a global system.
So what do you say? What are you saying our listeners can do as a point of action?
Well, this is what I would tell them to do. Here's the switchboard for the U.S. Capitol. It's 202-224-3121. And I'll give that number again. It's 202-224-3121. Just tell the Capitol switchboard operator where you live. She'll automatically connect you to your representative. And all you have to tell them is, I want you to get the United States out of the World Health Organization. We don't have to be in the WHO. We can get out, just like President Trump tried to get us out. So just say, I want you to get us out of the World Health Organization, and I want you to defund the World Health Organization right away. And if you think of it, also say, I want Kevin McCarthy to tie raising the debt ceiling to getting us out of the WHO. Whatever you have to do to get us out of the WHO, get us out. That's the bottom line message. And that number again for the Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121. And don't be nervous about making the call. You don't have to know everything. Just say where you live, and then just say, get us out of the WHO. Yeah. I want you to vote to do that.
People think when they call the Capitol, and doggone it, we got to, I apologize for this, but in the state of Mississippi, if there's an emergency 200 miles from me, they tell the whole state. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe that's a good thing that happened, because this is an emergency.
I know, but this emergency said we want out of the WHO, and I said we're already dealing with this. What I'm saying is, when you call your congressman or your senator, they're going to have a receptionist answer the phone. You just tell them what you want them to record. They're not going to get into an argument or a debate with you, typically speaking.
That's right.
So don't be intimidated. They want to hear what you have to say, even if they disagree. They want to be polite to you. All right. Thank you, Michelle. We appreciate it very much. Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
No, we've got now other states do this too, but this is twice this morning I've gotten an alert about a possible armed man, but it's like 200 miles from me.
Yeah, I'll tell you how to solve that.
Okay, but then they shock my system here by sending these alerts out. I know they're anyway. I'm reacting in real time.
Yes,
I haven't had time to think about this. I'll be back. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.